Now, another relative of a Troubles victim passed away last week without ever seeing justice for her loved one. Bea Wharton was 91 when she passed away last Friday, surrounded by her family. Bea had been a campaigner for justice for her son, Kenny, who was murdered by the IRA. He was taken off his work bus, lined up and shot dead alongside nine Protestant colleagues in the Kingsmills massacre in 1976. Now, in 1999, Bea spoke to the BBC journalist Mandy McCauley as part of a documentary on Protestant women on the border who were left behind after the IRA murdered their relatives. Let's have a listen to a clip from Mandy's documentary from 20 years ago and what Bea remembered about the night she got the dreadful news about her son.
In the 1970s, Catholics and Protestants were being killed on a daily basis. In January 1976, two Catholic families gunned down in one evening. 10 Protestants ambushed on their way home from work, lined up against a minibus and shot in the head.
10 Protestants killed tonight, Catholics killed last night. This is the way it will go, and unless somebody in their right senses stops it, it will go on.
You are admitting this then, that tomorrow night it could be 15, are you?
I'm not saying the numbers, but in terms of people listening to the news and saying, now we'll do the other side, and then someone else on the other side say, we will do them. That's the nature of it. It's not political. It's not concerned with what I may or may not say in any political terms. It is straight gangsterism.
We heard in the news that a minibus had been ambushed. It just flashed on the news, and my young son, Colin, he was lying in front of the fire. And he says, Mommy, where's King's Mill? Okay, he says, it's up the road a wee bit. So we went into Daisy Hill, a hospital, and a man with a fur coat, I can just see him to this day after 23 years, he put his arm on my shoulder and he says, yes, can I help you? I says, Kenny Wharton. He says he was the first brought in. Then they took us into the room and they gave us a cup of tea and a tablet and all, and we sat around talking, like, what are we doing here? All the whole families, you know. So he was buried on the Thursday. We never saw Kenneth. Was never opened for the city. He had no head. Oh, he was a bunny wee fellow with dark curly hair. Oh, he was lovely. And all what they brought home to his wife that night, or a few nights after he was killed, was his hairbrush and his flask. And there was some of his hairs in the hairbrush. He had just come out of work and had brushed his hair, you know, with a hairbrush, put it in his pocket, and that's all he had in his pocket.
I've been speaking to the victims' advocate, Kenny Donaldson, who's the director of services at the South East Fermanagh Foundation, and began by asking him if Bea ever got any sense of getting closer to justice for her son.
Bea's commitment to pursuing justice was there right to the end. And obviously there were a number of revelations which came through within the inquest, which was new information that she wouldn't and others wouldn't have previously necessarily known. But nevertheless, there was still a deep sense of, I suppose, frustration that Leeds, I suppose, could not ultimately bring about a situation of people being brought before the courts. But obviously that inquest has still some distance to run, and it would be the hope of the families that there might still be a measure of justice and accountability.
And I assume Bea and other family members, we hear about time being a healer, but I would assume the pain of losing her son, it doesn't and didn't diminish as the years went on.
No, I mean, you know, for a lady of 91 years of age, her abilities for campaigning were astounding. I think that listeners, when they hear back those words that she obviously commented back in 1989, 20 years ago now, she came across as obviously a very human, a very, very, you know, humble country lady, but very determined at the same time. And often we forget that over the years of the Troubles, the price and the absolute devastation that was caused to women within our society, when men folk were out obviously serving within the security forces or were murdered in other circumstances, and it was they who were holding the family together, and it was their strength that kept that fabric of life together. And of course, Bea herself served within the security forces, so she was not afraid also to step forward and to do what she saw was the right thing for her country.
When something like this touches someone personally, or indeed a family member, does it define the rest of your life to an extent? Something that you can never escape from, and you can never totally come to peace with?
Well, certainly, Vinny, I think the comment that was made to me many years ago, and I think they were the truest words I'd ever heard said, was that in terms of a murder inflicted within the Troubles, there is no more intimate crime that could ever be committed. Because let's be clear, it wasn't strangers doing it to strangers, it was neighbours taking the life of neighbours. And often people whom people would have presumed were friends or who were work associates or whatever the case may be, there was sometimes a prior relationship. And those individuals then could have been involved in the actual setting up of someone's demise and their ultimate murder. And that makes it very, very difficult from the point of view of the trust and the laceration of that trust and how that can then be rebuilt in the years that would then follow.
When we talk about justice, is it something that you think can ever be achieved in Bea's memory?
Well, I think where we've got to in terms of the society, we've obviously had 20 plus years of a manipulation of our criminal justice system to bring about what some people determined to be the peace settlement that was required to end the killing on the streets and to bring the society forward. Many others would say that peace has come at much too high a price.
And I assume you're talking about the Good Friday Agreement.
Yes, that's right. And the elements within it whereby, obviously, there was no consideration given to the needs of innocent victims within it. And I'm not alone talking about the agreement. I'm talking about the subsequent agreements, official and also back channel, that have taken place since then. Whether it's OTR letters for on the runs, whether it's Royal Progs of Mercy, whether it's the definition of victim, which exists since 2006, which equates a perpetrator with an innocent. There's a whole raft of things which have happened subsequent to the Belfast Agreement, which have heaped hurt upon people whom already were the collateral damage of what occurred here for 40 years.
And of course, Kenny, we've heard people refer to re-victimisation, the impact that then has on people that have gone through something traumatic themselves personally, or a loved one, a friend that has lost someone through the Troubles.
Very much so, and I suppose the case in point we can draw on, Vinny, is with Bea, the deep hurt that she experienced along with others, when there was obviously that mocking of the Kingsmill case in terms of the loaf of bread matter with Barry McAlduff, and that around that whole time, and the horrific phone calls that the family and other families were receiving, mocking their loved ones. These were 10 working men. And there were no security forces. They were going to their place of work. They were trying to do their best for their families. So in terms of the claim by the Republican movement of legitimate targets in terms of members of security forces, these men were in nothing. But they were murdered for one reason alone. It was because of ethnic and sectarian hatred. And we also acknowledge as an organisation that also happened in terms of the actions of loyalist terrorists of the Troubles who picked off people merely because of their faith and background.
And of course, Barry McAlduff at the time and since has denied that was a direct connection to what was the anniversary of that event. And I think it was an unconnected joke in his eyes. Thank you for your time this morning. Kenny Donaldson there.
Thank you, Donna.